church. And so just, there's a lot of connections with us, so I appreciate you continuing to pray for those things. John chapter 13 is where we're going to begin. It seems rather ridiculous, in my opinion, to preach to you a message about serving when you serve so well this week. But that's exactly what we're going to do, because we're in the series Come, Grow, Serve. I think it's a natural outflow that as we grow in Christ, we are going to naturally serve. That's what you do, okay? You show me someone that's not serving generally, and I'm going to show you someone that's probably not growing, okay? And serving looks different. Sometimes we think, for instance, you may think this week, well, I didn't actually serve in VBS. Did you give us snacks? Did you give to the penny offering? Did you pray for it? Did you hand out flyers? All those things are all part of serving. Do you give your tithes every week? Do you give to this church? That's all part of serving, because that helped this week take place, okay, in all of these things. Before Jesus acted in this passage, he knew everything. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew the disciples would run. He knew Peter would deny him. He knew he had a long night followed by a grueling death. In this moment, what important lesson did he want to communicate to them? Someone has said, if you knew you only had a few hours to live, what would you do? Jesus washed feet. Was he just teaching them to be feet washers? No. Was it just an act of service to them? It was that, but much, much more. Matter of fact, I think this truth is fundamental to the whole gospel. Jesus was teaching his disciples before he departed with them to begin the process. I mean, the acts are already in place. But he's going to leave this room with this lesson, head to the Mount of Olives, is going to be arrested, and will begin the grueling, quote-unquote, trial, as much of a fake trial as it was, and ultimately die. But he wanted them to walk away from this lesson. Serve. Serve. Serve each other. Serve. John 13 and Philippians chapter 2 are really bookends of Jesus' servitude. John 13 on the end of his life, Philippians 2 on the beginning of his life, telling us what he did to come and serve. We're going to reverse those. We're going to look at John 13 first. And I'm not sure we'll get through today, but we'll look at Philippians chapter 2, maybe 2 weeks from now. But let's start in verse 1 of John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, he knew everything, that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I've often thought, what must have been going through the disciples' minds? We don't have to wonder if they were arguing about who would be the greatest, because the Bible tells us they were. Which I think it's a very safe assumption, and it is an assumption, so I want to be clear with that. But I think it's a very safe assumption that those men walked by that basin and that towel and thought, I'm too good to do that. I think based on everything we know in Scripture, that's a very safe assumption. What do you think they were thinking from that perspective when Jesus girded himself with that towel? Pretty amazing. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter's like, no. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter was always declarative, wasn't it? I'm never going to do, and you're never going to do, and I'm not going to, yeah. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So, after he had washed their feet, had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them. Now, I've been in situations where something awkward came up, and man, you could cut it with a knife in that room. Don't you think this was one of them? When Jesus said, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus was not minimizing his deity at all. I am your Lord and Master. This is not like I'm trying to say, hey guys, listen, I'm not really your Lord and Master, and that's why I washed your feet to demonstrate that. No. I am your Lord and Master. You're right to say that. If I then, your Lord and Master, arguably the top of the food chain, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I'm just saying the top of the authority pyramid or whatever words you want to use. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, notice this, happy are ye if you do them. So, what a scene the Lord has here. It seems to me that the Lord is not only dealing with their lack of humility, and a couple of times he confronts them with that, doesn't he? Hey guys, what were you talking with, by the way? We had 8 of our grandchildren here with us this week. You know, it's interesting when you walk in on a conversation and they look like a cat swallowed a canary, you know, and they're like, okay, hey, what's going on in here? Nothing. I don't know, but you might want to tell your face because something's happening in this room, right? I didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday, as the old saying goes, right? But it was like, wow, this is our Lord has given us this example. They refused to humble themselves to wash each other's feet. Moments earlier, another passage of Scripture tells us that they were arguing about who would be the greatest in the upcoming coronation. Who's going to be the greatest here? Jesus then girded on this towel. A slave's apron, by the way. Non-Jewish slaves were the only ones that were allowed to do this. You could not even compel a Jewish slave to do this. It was against the law because it was that demeaning of a task. This was not a random choice of our Lord. He took the very lowest of the menial task to demonstrate his lesson. By the way, when we get to Philippians chapter 2, probably in 2 weeks, when we get to that, doesn't it tell us that he became the lowest he could be as well? And not only to die, but a crucifixion, which, by the way, was illegal for Romans to be crucified. Do you see the bookends here of what's happening, what our Lord, he's telling them, listen, there is nothing that you could come up with that's below you. That's what he's saying, nothing. So whenever you think, do they actually know who I am? Like, I'm not doing, you're not in the class with Jesus. This is what he's saying. And the Philippians 2 passage, again, we'll get to it eventually. The Philippians 2 passage, what is he saying to them? Hey, guys, why are we arguing with each other? Why are we strife and electioneering against each other and all these kinds of things? Why don't you serve each other? Why don't you put your needs below everyone else's needs? And as if he could anticipate the objections to that of saying, are you kidding me? If I do that, then everybody will just walk on top of me. He just says, let's consider Jesus. Because whatever your argument is about why you should not serve compared to Jesus, it just vanishes away, doesn't it? Yeah. One author said his actions contrast sharply with the self-seeking and pictures his whole ministry on earth. He served others. No master would ever wash a servant's feet. That was unheard of. Peter recognized what was happening and he objected to this because, no. Masters don't wash servants' feet. Did they know what he had done? Well, he had washed their feet. But did they really understand? Because it was larger than that, wasn't it? It was a lesson, by the way, that he had tried to teach them before. They were to chiefly be servants, not lords. Remember, he says, this is the way Gentiles rule. But I don't want you to rule that way. I want you to be a servant. Do you think Peter might have had this story in mind when he penned some of the words of 1 and 2 Peter? For instance, when he says to pastors there that pastors are not to be lords over God's heritage, but they're to serve the flock, they're to feed the flock, and so forth. Do you think Peter, as he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is penning these words, do you think he flashes back to the upper room? I would guess that he did. I would guess that he probably flashed back when he said to them that they are to bear up under the difficulties and the persecutions and that God knows what he's doing, that he probably flashed back to a little girl asking him whether or not he was one of them, and he cursed and swore and said, I am not. Again, we will look at his servanthood later on, but I think it's interesting in this text that he is not saying that he doesn't have a rightful title. He is not stepping down from deity. He is absolutely their Lord and their master. The issue is that he wants lords and masters. If you think you're so served, so should be, which none of us deserve that title, but our Lord did. But if you think you should be, I still want you to serve. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter. Wherever you think you are, quote unquote, in the pecking order, serve. That's what his whole kingdom was about. Now, let me ask you this, because sometimes we jump on the disciples. There's some good reason for that. I won't have you raise your hand, but how many of you ever have not served? How many of you have ever let the thought cross your mind that because you're so-and-so, you don't have to do? Now, I've been there. I've told this story to you before, but years, this has been, probably 20 years ago, maybe longer than that. Brew and I are walking in the parking lot, out here in the church parking lot. It was gravel then, and there was a piece of trash there that I stepped over, and he looked at me and said, don't ever step over a piece of trash in this parking lot. Now, technically, he hadn't stepped over it, but he was close, so he should have picked it up. I'm just kidding. But you know what? That has stuck with me, because my fleshly response was, are you kidding? But what am I supposed to be? A servant. Now, it doesn't matter where a piece of trash is in the parking lot. When I pull in here, I have to pick it up because I have Bruce's voice ringing in my head. It'll be forever haunting me, right? It's like, go, don't pick it. Pick up the piece of trash. And the fact is, I am not too good to pick up a piece of trash. And if I think I am, I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit. Serve. By the way, is it interesting what verse 17 says? Don't miss verse 17. Okay, if you know these things, run over you will be in this world. Doormats you will be in this world. Is that what he says there? What's the word he uses there? Happy you will be. Now listen, I want you to hear me. This was a long week, okay? And we're not going to concentrate on the longness of it. It was long. I'm not going to give that. Some of you came straight from work. I recognize that sacrifice, okay? But the fact is, when you looked in the face of that little kid who thought this was their greatest week they've ever been a part of, did your tiredness and your whatever just flee away quickly? A couple of restoration secretaries said to me, I love looking at those little faces. How could you not? Like, it's like, you know, and a couple of times I watch kids look around like, is everybody else having as much fun as I'm having? Because it's like, this is the greatest thing around, right? That's exactly what it should be. And we should be that way. And by the way, if you came this week with a grumpy attitude, were you really serving? Your body might have been here. But the truth is, when we serve God, as tiring as it is, I'm not minimizing the tiredness, I'm realizing the sacrifice, those are all there. But was our Lord tired at this point? Was there something else he could do to prep himself for the crucifixion that was coming within 24 hours? But no, he chose to serve. Again, I'm grateful to preach a message like this to a group of people that serve. Brother Randy has told me, he told me before, he said, thank your people. He said, not every church we go in is like this. He said, your people are anxious to serve. And I'm grateful for that, you know. And in the adjustments, Pastor Adam mentioned Monday night, right at 200 people on our property. That took some adjustments, right? Trying to move people around in bodies, shift here. We also figured out we're not going to pour concrete anymore in the middle of EBS. Okay, that was not anybody's fault. It just happened that way. But it was like, oh, yeah, it's raining, and we've got 200 people on the property, and we got to get those kids around there and so forth. But thank you for your service this week. And the truth is, if we want to be like our Lord, we must learn to serve. If we're not serving, we're not like him. That's the bottom line. There really is nothing else to say to this. And Jesus then goes on and kind of describes for us what's happening in Judas's life and so forth with that. And they go through some other teaching that takes place, but our Lord wanted them desperately to learn, I want you to wash feet. I want you to serve people. Now, let me ask you this. Did the disciples get it? I don't think they did right here. But let me ask you this. By the end of their life, did they get it? I would argue every one of them did. Why do we know this? Well, all but one died for the cause of Christ. And in some gruesome deaths and in places around the world, they learned to serve because they knew that's what our Lord was really like. And man, I am just so grateful for that. So I want us to just look at one more thing. Beyond this passage, there are lots the Word of God says about this. But let me just mention one other thing. The singleness of service. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus says this, no man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. God doesn't share. He's a jealous God. Exodus 20 and verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of all them that hate me. He is a zealous God that deserves our undivided attention when we serve. It's not God plus everything else. It's God. We serve him. You're like, well, Pastor, most of us might be called to full-time ministry. We're not talking about full-time ministry. We're talking about serving God. You're like, well, I work in a factory. Yeah, but you work for God. You serve God in the factory or in, you just fill in the blank, whatever you're doing. It's what God has called you to do at that moment. You serve God. That's what we're supposed to be about. My little granddaughter, Ellie Jade, she was here this week. It was fun to watch her, I think it was Thursday night, singing at the top of her lungs. But she's an interesting little character, right? Popping with personality. But when she wants pawpaw, she wants my undivided attention. Matter of fact, when she was a little bit little, she called me pawpawed. She added the ED on the end of it. And then she would say to me, she would say, pawpawed, I'll tell you something. Well, what she meant was drop everything you're doing, look her right in the eye, and listen to her, right? Matter of fact, she told me the same story. I remember one time after about the 10th time, she said that, and I looked at her, and I told her the story, and she looked at me like, how'd you know that? Like, well, baby, you know, it's like, I don't know, a couple months ago, she said to me, she said, Papa, I want to read to you. And I said, okay, I would love that. Go get a book. And she said, I said, you're not going to get a book? I want you to come with me. I said, okay. She took me into her bedroom, closed the door, and told everybody, this is me and Papa time. So nobody interrupt me, you know? And there she sits down and reads me a book. And somebody walked in and she said, don't come in. You know what our Lord wants? Undivided attention. See, we actually serve him as we serve others. But our service should be of single focus. Every little kid this week that you smiled at, that you rejoiced with, that you helped with a memory verse, that you served a snack to, that you served a craft to, that you helped introduce, whatever you did this week, every one of those was as if you were serving Jesus. The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? When you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. So let me ask you, if we really grasp that, does that change our service? It should, shouldn't it? I mean, you know, when that kid was like, do we love them the way Jesus loved them? If it was Jesus, would we respond that same way? When they, you know, didn't put the glue where they were supposed to, or when they didn't, whatever, you fill in the blank, right? Yeah. Are you single-focused when it comes to serving the Lord? And again, thank you so much for your service this week. What an amazing week it was, really. It's interesting. I think it was right at the beginning of the week, I got an email from Bud and Ruth Stedman. They're one of our missionaries. He is going to be our keynote speaker for Missions Conference in 2026. And so we were emailing back and forth, and I said, sorry, the emails are short. We're in the middle of VBS week. And he said, wrote me back, I was reached in a VBS. Yeah, VBS, how important that is for us. Father, help us to be single-focused. Help us to serve others as you serve. Help us, help me, not to believe that I'm too good to wash feet, because we're not, because you wash feet. And help us, Lord, to serve. And we love you in your name, we pray. Amen. All right, headed to Sunday school.